The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Friday.
All right, here we go. Woo! 108, 104, 106.
106?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Total number of cattle on feed in the feedlots on February 1, 108% of year-ago levels. Sounds like a lot, but the trade was expecting it to be up 7.4%, so maybe a little bit heavier than what the trade expected. Placed in January, is it any surprise that the placements came in higher than what the average trade guess was?
Well, I'm not surprised.
Say no.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. The trade was expecting somewhere between 100 and 101%. We got a 104% for the number of calves placed in January. Marketed in January, up 6% from a year ago. That was right in line with trade expectations. Welcome to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. I am your host, Chip Flory. That's the ATB News Guy. And 1 year older.
Yeah.
1 year and 1 day older.
A year and a day.
Yeah. Davis Michelson.
Made it so far. I'm doing good. Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Good. Dollar was higher today. Crude was higher. Stocks were higher. Corn was steady to lower. Soybeans higher with soybean meal lower and bean oil higher.
I don't like that one bit.
You know, it's only because I've convinced you that you shouldn't like it.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Well, that,
you're learning.
Standing
wheat
by.
Wheat was mixed. Wheat was mixed, live cattle mixed with the nearbys lower and the back months higher. Feeder cattle were mixed with the nearbys higher and the back months lower. Man, just a little position evening going into the cattle on feed report. I'd say that's what that was.
Fair enough.
Lean hogs slightly higher in today's trade. Brian Basting is the economist for Advanced Trading. He's my guest today. Want you to be part of the conversation as well. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. When you do, include hashtag ChipATB in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Send me an email anytime, agritalk@farmjournal.com. It was kind of a go-nowhere day to wrap up the week.
A little bit.
Yeah, narrow trading ranges for the most part, and just not a lot of motivation to move in one direction or the other in these grains or livestock markets.
That pretty much describes my entire day. Just not a lot of motivation left. I left it all on the field last night.
Attaboy. Attaboy. You're only as old as you feel, right?
Ooh, I hope not.
What moved the markets today?
Well, Chip, the U.S. dollar index traded higher for most of the session, but ran into tough overhead resistance at the 90 evil level again today. Still, the dollar posted a strong advance this week and traded more than 1,000 ticks above last Friday's close at yesterday's high. That's before ending up about 800 points on the week.
Yeah, it sounds like a big move, but I tell you what, it keeps the dollar pointed in a sideways trading range for now. We've got to watch the big picture. I've been talking about it all week, but we got to watch that big picture in currencies. Right now, I just don't think the dollar's hurting us or helping us that much.
Well, USDA this morning reported exporters sold nearly 329,000 metric tons of old crop wheat in the weekend of February 15. A cargo of wheat was also sold for delivery in 2018-19. Wheat traders are watching export demand and the currency trade, but the bulk of price movement this week was forced by changing weather in the U.S. southern plains. This week's rains soaked areas of eastern Texas and Oklahoma, but left most of Kansas without any precipitation. The result was an outside week on the weekly chart for hard red winter wheat futures. Front month HRW ended about a dime below last Friday's close.
Yeah, and I won't call it a low range or a mid-range close, but we were below mid-range on the weekly chart.
Okay.
It's not like it's clearly a low range close in that front month HRW on the weekly chart. But you know, you can give credit for that dime loss in HRW to money flow as much as you can the rains. They were good rains, no doubt about it, but they fell in some of the least intense HRW areas. Kansas, like you said, Davis, mostly high and dry. But I think maybe the most important thing, and I want to talk to Brian about this coming up here, it's almost like Wheat decided that it did not want to be a leader this week.
Oh.
And that feels a bit like of an attitude change in that wheat market.
Hmm. Well, March hard red futures were 1¾ cents lower at 4.69 even. March soft red firmed a penny to close at 4.52¼. March spring wheat was off 2¼ at $6.75. Corn export sales in the week ended February 15 totaled 1.555 million metric tons for delivery in the current marketing year, along with a cargo of new crop corn sold for export. And this morning, USDA reported Egypt purchased 115,000 metric tons, and trade sources report South Korea bought 68,000 tons of U.S. corn, both for delivery in the current marketing year. Yeah. The last 6 weeks of corn sales have been one of the strongest streaks of corn sales in a decade, but now shipping problems on the inland waterways are making it difficult to get corn to export locations at the Gulf. Got it.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
Yeah.
You know, I got a note from a barge loader this morning. Looks like the Ohio River is basically shutting down after the rain that they got today. This is absolutely critical for corn. We're making great sales, but we've got to be able to get the product to the Gulf. Mm-hmm. Barge rates through the roof. Corn basis catching a bit at the Gulf, but none of it does us much good if we can't get use the rivers to move the product.
On the supply side, cuts to Argentine corn crop estimates this week helped to limit selling interest in corn futures. Also, trade was subdued by anticipation of USDA's Ag Outlook Forum. Technically, most of the damage to corn prices was done on Tuesday with a downside reversal. Still, March corn futures were down less than 2 cents on the week.
Something. Yeah, that's right. We'll talk about those USDA projections later with Brian.
March corn futures were a half cent lower at 3.66¼ today. July corn slipped a quarter cent to close at 3.82¼. December corn closed at 3.97¼. That's steady on the day. It is a weather market in the soy complex, and many crop and market watchers expect the weather watching to peak in the next week ahead. Some Argentine bean crop estimates were slashed as much as 5 million metric tons this week, but most crop watchers warn there could be another 5 million in downside for crop estimates in the next couple of weeks. Weather forecasts continue to point to hot and dry conditions for about half of Argentina's crop areas.
Yeah, there's been some activity in the export market the last couple of days that suggests to me that importers of Argentine beans and products have lost faith that they're going to be able to get what they need out of Argentina.
On the demand side of the market, USDA this morning announced a net sales reduction of just more than 109,000 metric tons in the weekend of February 15. But, Chip, that was for the old crop marketing year. For new crop beans, sales of just over 222,000 metric tons were reported. Still, USDA this morning announced the sale of 40,000 metric tons of old crop and 66,000 tons of new crop beans for delivery to an unknown destination.
Yeah, 2 days in a row with relatively small sales split between old and new crop shipments. That's that business that smells like the traditional buyer of Argentine beans is coming to the U.S.
March bean futures this week started with an upside price gap and quickly fell to fill that gap before turning back to the upside and to close higher in three of this week's four trading days. That resulted in gains of almost 15 cents this week for March beans. March soybean futures were 4¼ cents higher at 10.36¼. July beans gained 3.5 cents to close at 10.56 even. November beans closed at 10.28, up just a quarter of a penny today. Live cattle traders didn't have to wait long for cash trade to start this week. Midweek trade at 128 in the plains was down about $2 from the previous week, setting the tone for futures. On the week, April live cattle were down almost $3. Today, April live cattle were 52.5 cents lower to close at 124.85, and June cattle were steady at 116.80. March feeders were also steady and closed the week at 146, even down almost $4 from Friday's close. On the snout side, April lean hogs a dime higher, but 71.37½, and June hogs firmed 7.5 cents to close at 83.02½. On the week, April hogs were up a little more than $3 from last Friday, Chip.
Yeah, great pork export sales. Marketing
excellent.
Year high,
yep.
Above 40,000 metric tons in the week ended February 15. Guys, we got a treat for you. Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. He's up next on AgriTalk ATV.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions. But he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
What is the Corvus Zone? It's the weed-free area between the rows. But only when you use Corvus, the one-corn herbicide that delivers three levels of grass and broadleaf weed defense. Burn down, residual, and reactivation with rain. You want season-long control of the toughest weeds, including resistant ones? Use Corvus pre-emergence corn herbicide, America's preferred choice. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Today's trading is over. Now it's time to set your strategy for tomorrow. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to ATB. I'm chilling on the dirt road. A little bit of that last night?
A little bit? Just a little.
I'm telling you, those crop tour beers probably had a lot of cruising down the back roads before you got a hold of them last night.
And I feel like it must have been concentrated or something.
You think?
Yeah, from spending so much time around corn and corn people over the summer.
Well, wow.
They were anxious to get in my belly, though.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Corn was steady to lower, soybeans high. Are you going to have a Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report for us at the end of the show today?
Is that today?
That's today.
I'll have one.
Good.
We're good.
Thank you.
Yes, lots to talk about.
Good. Corn was steady to lower. Soybeans were higher today. Soybean meal lower, but bean oil higher. Wheat was mixed. Live cattle and feeder cattle were mixed. Lean hogs were slightly higher in today's trade. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag ChipATB. Brian Bassing is the economist at Advanced Trading. He joins me now. Brian, it's been a while since we've talked. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chip. It's good to hear from you. Yeah, I always enjoy coming on your program, and you certainly got a lot going on to talk about right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. You follow that cattle on feed report, don't you?
Yeah, I keep an eye on it, yeah.
Yeah, very good. So February 1, total number of cattle on feed in the feedlot, 108%, just a touch heavier than what the trade was expecting. Total number of cattle placed in January, up 4%. Trade expected a 0.4% increase. And then cattle marketed in January, 106%, right in line with trade expectations. That big increase, by the way, part of the reason there's an extra day in January, you know, quote unquote, extra day in January this year compared to last year. I don't know. Brian, looks pretty neutral to me.
Yeah, I mean, it just reiterates, Chip, I guess, that we got a substantial amount of cattle out there. I think that a placement number, looking at January placements, that 106% of, or pardon me, 104% of last year. That's the largest January placement since 2006. So we are looking at a 12-year high there in terms of January placements. And so, but again, as you mentioned, the actual on-feed number on Feb 1 there, right in the range, toward the higher end of the range. But it does underscore, though, that we got plenty of cattle out there.
Yeah, it certainly does. And when you look at the numbers coming out of the Ag Outlook Forum out in D.C., beef production is forecast up 5.9% in 2018 from 2017. That's in the range of what people have been thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think looking forward to 2018 here, you know, keep an eye on the export market. We had some interesting trends in the export sales this morning. We're at a marketing year high in pork exports, but a marketing year low in beef exports. So that'd be something to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, another one that's going to lead me into a question that's coming off of Twitter. Milk production is forecast to be a record 218.7 billion pounds. This is from the Outlook Forum. That's up 1.5% from 2017. A lot of the reason for that increase, output per cow is on the rise.
Yeah.
But on the we've got plenty of milk production out there, Brian, but this question comes in from at B. Winnikins, WRDN, up in Durand, Wisconsin. He says, have you seen the Barron story on dairy that says Chinese demand will help rebound milk to $20 a hundredweight? This really possible?
You know, I hadn't heard that, Chip. It's certainly something that any time you mention the word China, you got to respect what their potential is. We've all seen that, particularly in the soybean market. But I had not picked that up. You know, any time you look at the supply we have right now of milk, anything would help. And certainly, if we were to come in and see some major exports of products to China there, that would be much welcome, because I'm concerned about the milk market right now. It feels very heavy with the supply we've got.
Yeah, we've got a bigger supply coming in the next couple of months. There's no question about that. But, Brian, you make a good point. Every time China comes up and we start talking about demand, you've got to respect the idea here. And I don't want to say that dairy consumption in general is something, quote-unquote, new to the Chinese people. It's not. But they seem to have, the country in general seems to have developed a taste for some dairy products.
Yeah, you make a great point, Chip. I think that the whole structure of the diet, if you will, in China is being modified and will probably likely continue to be modified moving forward. And it started with the protein demand, of course. And if they were to consume or add additional consumption of cheese or butter, whatever the case may be, that's certainly when the volume of people and the economy as strong as it is, it can make a big swing in the balance sheet, no doubt about it. So, yeah, I think it's something you got to keep in the back of your mind going forward, and hopefully from a producer standpoint, something will materialize here.
Right. Okay, let's round out the livestock conversation. Well, you know what? I'm not going to confine it to livestock. Let's call it a meat conversation. You already mentioned the pork exports in that weekend at February 15, a marketing year high. I don't remember many numbers over 40,000 ton. That was a big number.
Yeah.
And then USDA's got pork production in 2018, record 26.9 billion pounds, up 5.1% from 2017. Broiler output, 42.6 billion pounds, up 2.3. Dude, we got a lot of meat. We better keep these exports rolling.
Yeah, that's you hit the nail on the head. I think that the hog market's been in a dump since the first of the year, and it's finally showing some life here looking at April futures. But, it certainly could use all the help we can get in terms of chewing through the supply, whether it's pork supply or, like you said, if you throw the whole thing into a hopper, we've got a lot of red wheat, red meat, white meat, and just about everything out there. So, yeah, I think it's a market that will take the export demand if we can get it. The weaker dollar may be helping some here, too.
Right.
But I think you made a good point earlier. The dollar is showing a lot of weakness, but it's, you know, some of that may be factored in, and we'll see how that evolves going forward.
Yeah, I've been arguing, Brian, that the dollar is going to have to make a move one way or the other before it starts influencing grain trade again. And mm-hmm. I'm even of the opinion right now, Brian, that if we would see that dollar index in the spot month climb up above 92 and start to make an attack on 95, that might be enough to scare some of the importers out there to say, geez, let's get some stuff bought now before the buck gets even higher. Am I crazy thinking that way?
No, spot on. I think any time that it's been languishing, for lack of a better phrase here, for a few weeks down here, that if you get a wake-up call and it starts to spike, then it might be a wake-up call to get some sales on the books from their standpoint.
Very good. Back to hogs here real quick. Like you said, a lot of pressure in 2018. Things have perked up here this week, but April hogs over 71 bucks, June hogs 83 bucks. These aren't terrible numbers, prices that we're talking about. We've still got an opportunity to make some money in hogs.
Yeah, no question. I think that's maybe the market's had that wake up here the first two months of 2018 that the pork producer has not been sent a signal as such to really cut back production a lot. And as such, I think that this March hogs and pigs report next month could be a key indicator where we really stand. And, you know, going forward, as you said, those aren't terrible prices compared to, you know, some recent history. So I think going forward, keep coming back to the volume of meat. I think, as you said, from the Outlook Forum, anytime you look at that volume of meat, there's a competitive environment out there.
Yeah, no question about it. Do you need to get some protection cattle, hogs at these price levels, or maybe just exercise a little bit more patience and let them run?
I like the idea of giving yourself flexibility, Chip, just getting a floor in place.
Okay.
And then giving yourself the upside opportunity. We like producers to consider the purchase of the put option. That gives you the opportunity to set that floor. Obviously, there's an investment there initially, but it does set the floor in case something really comes out of left field and these prices get a lot more pressure than we anticipate. But it gives you upside in case, as you said, we do get a further rebound here, particularly in hogs.
Well, you know, a lot of times, Brian, I might push back on buying puts in cattle and hogs, but when you're at a profitable level, as long as you can get that strike price at a quote-unquote profitable level, I don't mind the idea of putting that kind of a price floor in place. But, the opportunity to do such, I don't want to say that it doesn't come around that often, but now that you've got an opportunity, maybe it's something that we ought to be taking a very close look at.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better. You know, these markets typically don't provide those opportunities for an extended period of time, as you know and your listeners know, whether it's cattle, hogs, or corn, beans, or wheat. That's kind of the way the market works, is it'll give you the opportunity, but those who are on top of it seize it, and then all of a sudden it tends to disappear quicker than most anticipate.
All right, very good. We're talking with Brian Bassing. Brian is the economist for Advanced Trading. Brian, we're going to, in the next segment, we're going to talk about some of those numbers that came from USDA, the chief economist's office at USDA. We're going to talk about those in the next segment. But before we get to that, I want to talk about what's going on the rivers and whether or not some of the disruption in shipments down the river might have an impact on our corn market, soybean market going forward. So we got to stick with the exports here for just a little bit. We're selling a lot of corn. We just can't get it out of the country. We'll talk about that next on ATB.
Tired of yesterday's missed weeds becoming today's big problem? Get rid of missed weeds for good with Liberty, the herbicide that puts an end to missed weeds guaranteed. Plus, Liberty is proven effective on tough-to-control and resistant grasses and broadleaf weeds. So choose Liberty, the simply better solution for superior weed control. Backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Talk to your retailer to learn how you can qualify for the Liberty Guarantee. Always read and follow label directions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
It's time for ATB's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm here and I'm looking at April gold futures again today. April gold recently rallied along with crude oil in reaction to the weak dollar. It retested its fall 2017 high around $1,370 per ounce on January 25th and failed. The following drop carried it back down to support its 40-day moving average, with the move then being reversed by last week's CPI report implying growing inflationary pressures. But bulls were unable to sustain the upward momentum, which in turn prompted Tuesday's breakdown. It ended that day resting on its 40-day moving average support at 1330 and did so again Wednesday and Thursday. The market slipped a bit below the 40-day MA today, which suggests further losses, but the drop wasn't decisive. I think the next significant move away from the 40-day MA will see a big fall through.
Very good. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott.
So, Mr. Wolf, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
You know how to grow a great crop. We're here to help you grow profit. Now, back to AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
Welcome back, everybody. Talking with Brian Basting today from Advanced Trading. Before we get back to the conversation, let's get a recap from Davis.
Well, Chip, March hard red winter wheat futures were 1¾ cents lower at 4.69 even, with front month SRW up a penny to close at 4.52¼. March corn was a half cent lower at 3.66¼. New crop corn closed at 3.97¼, steady today. March beans were 4¼ cents higher at 10.36¼. Novi beans closed at 10.28, up just a quarter of a cent today. April live cattle were 52½ cents lower to close at 124.85. March feeders were steady to close at 146 even, and April lean hogs were a dime higher at 71.37½. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Kimo Sabe.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yeah. Brian Basting is the economist for Advanced Trading. Brian, before we get to the rivers, which is before we get to the USDA numbers, I want to focus just a little bit on what Dan Vaught was talking about there. Some of those outside markets and maybe some of those markets are showing some growing inflationary pressures out there. Are you seeing any of that?
Oh, it's hard to say, Chip. There's a lot of movement in those outside markets at the moment. There's a lot of volatility at the moment. So it's something, though, that at very least the equity market received a shot across the bow here with that collapse we saw here recently in early February. But it's rebounded, and it's stronger today, I saw again. So, you know, it's going to be a much different picture here, I think, in 2018, Chip, compared to what it was in 2017 on a lot of fronts.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Okay, the rivers. I got a note from a barge loader on the Mississippi, but still, he stays in touch with what's going on the other inland waterways. The Ohio, it sounds like they're about ready to, if it hasn't shut down, it sounds like it's going to shut down. Illinois River's got some high water issues. I mean, they're talking about some of the highest water levels recorded on those rivers. And it's not good for barge traffic. Is it going to have any impact on our grain and bean trade?
Yeah, I actually lived through some of that this week. I was down in Louisiana, Chip, I was down in Louisiana, northeast Louisiana, Chip, on, and it rained cats and dogs. So I lived through some of that, and it's a soppy mess down there, and it's going to be a challenge. I know some of the places are having difficulty getting barges under the spout, and it's really slowed a lot of things out there. And yeah, certainly moving forward, Chip, I think this looks wet for the next 7 days here. It looks very wet. So, I think the export sales are encouraging. I think we're going to get those bushels loaded eventually. We just may not get them loaded as soon as we like.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got to get them loaded. I mean, this string of corn export weeks that we've put together, this is impressive. And I'm not saying that we need to look at the export sales as a reason that the funds rolled out of those short positions, but it had to help. I just wish that the combination of the funds getting out of shorts and this really nice string of export sales weeks that we've got for corn could have done more than 15 or 16 cents, and it didn't. But nonetheless, we did get a pop.
Yeah, you're spot on there, Chip, because I think what's happened is that little pop in the market we've seen has been met with some pretty steady producer selling. So I think that's kind of kept a lid on things. And anytime you're looking at the supply, world supplies we have of corn and coarse grains, that it's just enough right now. Now, having said that, we do have a really good demand base that's kind of flown under the radar for corn. Everybody's been talking about the exceptional protein demand. We all know that from China and Southeast Asia. But the corn demand is impressing people, I think. And we need a big crop. Right now, Chip, I think the market's going to be zeroed in on Safrinha corn this next 30 to 45 days. It's not an ideal start for Safrinha corn.
Right. Yeah, and it seems like this is always the time of the year, of course, that we start to focus more on that that Safrinha corn planting progress, and they're behind. There's no other way to look at it. They are behind. Brian, you mentioned that the farmers have been selling into this strength that we've seen in the corn market. Is that the right thing to do?
Well, I think anytime you can reward a market, Chip, there's nothing wrong with that. I think anytime you move into these uncertainty times of uncertainty, though, it would be nice to maintain some flexibility in these markets. If you're a producer with old crop in the bin here, certainly would want to look at rewarding the market and maybe replacing some of those sales with call options, because the Safrinha crop, as I said, is just getting planted. Also encourage your listeners to consider the option of the carry in the market. You still got an attractive 15-cent carry out there from March to July, and really gives an opportunity to lock that in. A combination now of a board recovery and the carry in the market. I really strongly encourage your listeners to consider that as an opportunity out there too.
Yeah, and even better opportunity is developed in this bean market. I'm sorry, Brian, but I did not expect Brazil to produce, I don't know, 114, 116, maybe even more than 116 million tons of beans this year, and for us to have July bid at 1050 or better.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head as always, Chip, because this has been a market that we are not running out of beans today on February 23rd of 2018, whether we're looking at the March 1 supplies out of South America, as you said, that harvest in Brazil. The numbers I continue to hear are steady to higher from where USDA is at and leaning towards the higher end. And the demand is great. We will need to grow a big crop here in the U.S. Yes, the Argentina crop can get bigger, but this has been a nice opportunity, at the very least, this market has rallied about a dollar here, at least in old crop, nearly a dollar.
Right. Okay, USDA projections. This one came out yesterday. 90 million corn acres, 90 million bean acres for 2018. Agree, disagree, higher, lower? Which way are you going?
If I had a bias today, Chip, it might be a bit lower on corn, a bit higher on beans. Look at that bean-corn ratio continue to hover right around that 2.59, 2.6 level for new crop. Continues to offer a decent incentive out there for additional acres here in beans in 2018. you know, a lot's going to depend on the weather, as you know, here moving forward. But that would be our bias today. I think maybe a tad lower on the corn and a tad higher on the beans.
Yeah, the one number that surprised me a little bit was the all wheat number, 46.5 million acres planted. That was just a little surprising to me.
Yeah, it does pencil in a pretty good bump in that spring wheat, hard red spring acres, which is a bit surprising. But we'll see how that shakes out here. We'll get the first survey, as you know, here next month. I guess they take it the first 2 weeks in March. But our bias today is that they may be a little aggressive on the upside. So, you know, again, we'll see how it shakes out. But I think some of those producers up in the northern plains have found that producing more beans in particular is a winner over wheat. So that's why we think it might be a tad aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, 90 million planted bean acres would give us about 89.1 million harvested acres. Throw an average yield on it at 48.5 bushels per acre. You get a 4.320 billion bushel crop. And USDA's projecting it feels a little aggressive on the export side with what we're going through right now, up to 2.3 billion bushels. Crush might feel a little conservative, but capacity is going to have something to do with that at 1.98 billion bushels. But all said and done, carryover for next year. Robert Johansson, I almost said Joe Glauber. That was going to take me back in time. but Robert Johansson is looking for a carryover on beans at 460 million bushels. Mm-hmm. You know, it's off 70 million from where we're projected at for this year, but it's still a daggum big number.
That's a great point, Chip. We just had that conversation with our growers down in Louisiana for our series of Outlook meetings this week. It's important to keep that perspective that it was recently as August 31st of 2014. You and your listeners recall we had a carry out under 100 million. It was 90 million, 92 million, and now we're still talking about a five-fold increase from that, exactly a five-fold increase, as a matter of fact, from 92 to 460. So, you know, we got great demand. I continue to underscore that, and we will need a big soybean crop this year. But, boy, all we can say is on February 23rd of 2018, that we got November futures up here at nearly 10.30 a bushel, and certainly is an impressive rebound we've seen in the face of, as you said, a record, what could be a record Brazilian crop here.
You're right. Right. Okay. On corn, 90 million planted, 82.7 million harvested. Robert threw a number on there for the yield at 174, give us a crop 14.39. The feed and residual, they went down on that, down slightly. I mean, is it just because of a smaller crop?
Yeah.
And a smaller residual?
Yeah, a lot of times that residual, as you said, is directly tied to production. And there's just statistical or strong relationship there. So, yeah, I guess that may be a tad there. If you want to pencil in maybe a little more DDGs here in 18, 19, but that was a little bit surprising, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason that they're talking, we might see a more DDG displacement of corn use. 5.65 billion bushels of corn going to ethanol production. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest number I've seen.
That was a big number. Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a big number. So I think one thing to keep an eye on, as you and your listeners well know, Chip, is the ethanol exports is something that has surprised the market here. It did surprise the market the last couple of years with how strong those were. And we'll see what happens here in 2018. But that might be something that would underpin that number, too, moving forward.
Yeah, those exports. It's what those. Yeah, I like to talk about ethanol exports, but I'll admit it's one of those factors that sometimes kind of slips my mind. And but our exports have been excellent in 17, looking good so far in 2018. Mm. 2.272 billion bushels of carryover is what they're looking at for this year. It's off a little bit from what we're expected at the end of this year. So I don't know, Brian. It feels like another year of kind of go nowhere if we get those numbers.
You know, it's interesting, Chip, we did a little exercise on our meetings this week showing that about March 1st last year, we had December corn, near $4 a bushel, about where it is today. And, of course, as your listeners know, it went all the way down to $3.45 last fall.
Right.
So,
Brian, we got to go. Point well taken there. We got to pay attention to the downside risk. We'll talk to you again soon, Brian.
Great to be with you as always, Chip.
Brian Bassing, Advanced Trading, ATB.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. Every spring, we hit my fields together at the first sight of green. 6 weeks later, he's out here again checking roots, stalks, soil, like they were his own. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. Nutrients, weed control, pests, disease. He gets an agronomist to weigh in whenever we need a second opinion. The whole time, using the latest technology to document where we've been and decide where we're going. Wheels always turning. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. That, my friends, is what they call seedsmanship at work. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a channel seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boots.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's inputsmonitor.com.
Expert analysis from the CME floor and experts across the country. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
And there's the bump we've been looking for all week.
I know. We found the one we were waiting on.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, just a reminder, it was a USDA report day. Cattle on feed report, the monthly cattle on feed report. Total number of cattle on feed on February 1, 108% of year ago. Trade expected 107.4. Placed in January, 104%. Trade expected 100.4%. Mm-hmm. And marketed in January, 106% of year ago. That was right at the average trade guess, according to a poll by Reuters.
Not exactly an eye-popper.
No, not really. I don't think it's going to be... That report right there doesn't look like it's going to have a lot of weight on the market in either direction come Monday morning.
Okay.
The placements number up 4%, trade expected steady to slightly higher on the placements number. Brian said it's like the highest January placements in 12 years.
Yeah.
A lot of that has got to have to do with the grass and wheat conditions out in the plains.
Oh, sure.
I'll admit, I haven't looked at the weight breakdown, but it wouldn't surprise me if these are some lighter weight calves, maybe not the heavyweight calves. So these are calves that maybe would have been out on pasture, out on wheat fields, doing a little bit of grazing, putting on some bone and staying green,
so
that when they catch the feed, they really take off. But I got to believe that's what's going on. We just don't have much spot to put them out on grass. Or wheat.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So they're coming to the feedlot a little bit earlier. It's a big week for you.
Yeah.
It really was.
It was a lot crammed into 4 days.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
It felt like 5 days.
You got old.
Yes.
And without giving away too much detail,
mm-hmm.
but this felt like a week on the fertilizers where you had to make some things happen.
The market forced our hand is what it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's get to it. Friday Farm Fuels and Fert.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is brought to you by Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. Cutting-edge analysis, risk management, and the tools you need to succeed. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Are those new?
No, they're the ones I...
That's like the first time I've ever seen you wear glasses.
Don't pay attention to me, do you? It's like I don't even exist over here.
And now, Chip?
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I've lost my steam for this now. No, seriously. A lot to talk about this week. We did go ahead and pull the trigger, subscribers. You got some very specific advice.
Yep.
If you would like to view that specific advice, go to profarmer.com. Here are a few headlines, though. This from UKBusinessInsider.com. Thanks to natural gas shortages, Chinese fertilizer output dropped 7% from the prior year, according to the country's National Bureau of Statistics. Volume is down 9.3% from December, again from the UKBusinessInsider.com. Here again, you know, it's like Brian said,
mm-hmm.
when people say China, you know, you got to pay attention. And it is true that Chinese urea has been a leader. We've said it a bajillion times here on this show. So, you know, fertilizer output down 7% year on year, down 9.3% from last month, which would be December. And that means urea.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a urea price response, but that puts all forms of nitrogen at risk, and we've seen most of our forms of nitrogen higher most of the time for a couple of weeks here. But that also includes phosphate, and we don't want to overlook that. Phosphate already overpriced compared to the rest of our fertilizers, but especially DAP, we're very concerned there. So that kind of helped us.
And they're following along.
They really are.
Yeah.
They absolutely are, and we're seeing it. I mean, this week's End Files titled Unrelenting Uptrend.
Okay.
And our appetite for risk is exhausted. Here we go. Given from this week's Inputs Monitor, given world and domestic production fundamentals, rising transport rates, and the advent of early field work.
Okay.
Three strikes, baby. I mean, we believe P&K prices will continue to firm in the coming weeks. From Farm Fuels and Focus, with WTI and heating oil resuming their uptrends, they fell back a little bit. We thought, oh, this is pretty nice. They're up higher this week. The crude oil's up like, you know, $2.50 or something like that on the week. Retail farm diesel unchanged this week. We view that as an opportunity. Now, we're going to leave some room because once refiners get through maintenance season and get the summer blends and all that stuff worked out, yep. I think we're probably going to see a decent supply push.
Yeah, that April crude oil was $61.55 last Friday's close. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Today's close, $63.56.
Right,
so,
right,
yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, now's a good time to get in there. And again, same fundamentals are in place. Field work is starting down south, and that's going to put a floor under everything that we cover in the Inputs Monitor. So get yourself covered on at least a portion of your diesel and get your fertilizer done. Mm-hmm. For spring is about where we're at. Fuels and fertilizers mixed to slightly higher on the week. Anhydrous ammonia up 378 by the short ton to 503.95. I hate to cross over 500 and not do anything.
Yeah.
We're done. We're out. UAN solutions mixed with 28% down 477, 32% 846 higher, 28% now at 228.17, UAN 32% at 259.72. UAN is probably our best value right now as far as the fertilizers go. Urea 423 higher by the short ton at 366.46. Phosphates higher, DAP up 503, MAP 686 higher by the short ton. DAP now at 472.54 regionally, MAP at 504.88. Once again, pop over 500, I'm out. Potash 290 higher on the week at an average of 342.83. Expected new crop revenue did gain 850 per acre, which we like to see. That helps. We're up at 632.40 per acre as of last Friday. Diesel unchanged at 238. Propane 4 cents higher, 144. Nutrient composite index up 5.07 to 531.89 on last year's 523.18. Basically in line, a little higher. Go to ProFarmer.com for more details.
Carl back in the studio is going all Academy Awards on you.
Yeah, he's ready to be done.
And playing you off.
Get the hook.
Hey, at B. Winikins tweeted out that Forbes story. So at B. W-I-N-N-E-K-I-N-S if you want that Forbes story on Chinese demand helping out milk prices. All right, tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Coming Back to the Fold. When you've had enough corn shucks, come on home for a hunk of fatted calf. And now today's tweets at Rory Deverell. I cracked. Not a bad effort. Nearly 2 months of vegetarian. Had the best prime steak ever. Lesson learned. I'm bowing out. Welcome back, buddy. At Plotner Mike, you have a no more chicken factory sign in your yard, yet you told the township you want to put a housing development in the 30 acres behind your house. He's shaking his head. And one more, a conservative VW. Ooh, I don't have much time. When a woman wears leather clothing, a man's heart beats quicker and his throat gets dry. He gets weak in his knees. You ever wonder why? Because she smells like a new truck.
Thanks, Brian, for being on the show. Tomorrow we got Monday, Brian Grady from Pro Farmer. Have a great weekend.
What is the Corvus Zone? It's the weed-free area between the rows. But only when you use Corvus, the one corn herbicide that delivers three levels of grass and broadleaf weed defense. Burn down, residual, and reactivation with rain. You want season-long control of the toughest weeds, including resistant ones? Use Corvus Pre-Emergence Corn Herbicide, America's preferred choice. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.